From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. You're most welcome to our gospel program. May I send my greetings to all those who are gathering in Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast for today's convention services. We will be turning this morning to John chapter 12, the verses 27 to 33, and our subject is the shadow of the cross. Next week will be the 6th anniversary of our first broadcast here on Radio Star Country. I will, as we have on each anniversary broadcast, give a word of testimony. For this time of the year marks the date of my own conversion to Christ on the 5th of April, 1964. Let's have a suitable hymn. It's a hymn that centers upon the Savior's sacrifice on Calvary. Returning to John chapter 12, verses 27 to 33, our topic is entitled The Shadow of the Cross. In the verse 27, it is clear that the shadow of the cross of Calvary has fallen darkly upon the Savior. Hear his words. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. The word troubled means disturbed, disquieted. We are reminded here of the horror that the Savior was soon to experience. He who had given peace of soul and heart to others is himself deeply troubled. He who banished disease and its pains from so many sufferers is himself in an agony of soul and conflict of mind. Why was this so? The answer is this. Christ is contemplating his forthcoming death. It was no ordinary death. His sufferings would surpass the sufferings of those martyrs who died for the gospel, some of whom were burned alive, while others were torn limb from limb by wild and furious beasts. Indeed, those who died such deaths usually did so with quiet dignity and great composure. This they did because they were sustained by the grace of Christ in their hour of trial. Yet he who would enable others to die so triumphantly for his cause is here showing agitation at the prospect of the death that awaited him at Calvary. What is the explanation? It is this. Christ was soon to die under the great and immeasurable burden of all the sins of all his people, and that without the comfort of his Father's presence. Dear Christian, our sins were truly laid on Christ at the cross. It was the anticipation of this dreadful event that drew such groans from our blessed Saviour. This is what the prophet Isaiah spoke of in chapter 53 in the verses 4 to 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If the thought of that event caused the Saviour such inward pain, how much greater was the actual experience of his substitutionary death? Consider that it was to thus die that Christ came. Look again at verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. The Saviour would not ask his Father to enable him to avoid this coming hour of suffering. No, for this very reason he had come into the world. He had been born as the sinless one. He had lived a sinless life, and all in order that he might offer himself as the spotless lamb, the atoning sacrifice, who would vicariously suffer in the place of his people and pay their debt to God. Listen to these verses. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5, and verse 21. Calvary was the altar on which that sacrifice, of all sacrifices, was offered in order to remove the offences of the sins of God's people. At Calvary, God was glorified. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Verse 28. God's mercy and love were glorified. His wisdom was glorified. So too was his justice glorified. What love and mercy there was when God sent his only Son to die in the place and under the guilt and shame of the sins of that multitude of sinners which no man can number. What wisdom there was at the cross, whereby God, a holy God, could exercise his mercy without forfeiting his justice, and execute the just sentence against sin without abandoning his love. At the cross, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Psalm 85, verse 10. Calvary was of God's great and all-wise devising, the perfect and just means of letting the sinner go free while still executing judgment against his sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and 16. At Calvary the devil was defeated, but sinners were liberated. See what the Saviour says in verses 31 to 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. At the cross, the Lord Jesus defeated the devil and robbed him of his chief weapon of destruction, that is, sin. When the devil successfully tempted a man to sin, he brought judgment upon that man. Sin brings about the destruction of men under the wrath of God. But if Christ delivers men from the curse and condemnation of sin, then is the devil stripped of his power and weaponry. Listen to how Paul described what happened at the cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. By taking away our debts, he triumphed over Satan and made a show of him. Thus was the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 fulfilled. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Christ was bruised in the heel as he trod underfoot the devil and broke his head. Because this was so, the Saviour could say, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 32. Whenever the Saviour is lifted up in preaching, sinners will see in him the answer to their need and be drawn to him by his grace. Let me ask in closing, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? May you see in the sufferings of Christ all that your sin-sick soul requires. Do join me tonight at 9 o'clock once more. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.